Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Yo, yo, back again, man. It's Wednesday. Of course, it's Rap Names Day. You know what it is. Like, you already knew what time it was, you know what I'm saying? You know the voice, you know the headline, man. It's Mario. I'm in the building. Jerv, what up, man?
What's up, fam? You know, another day, another dollar.
Yeah, ain't shit, man. Chilling, really. You know, we definitely got a good show ahead, man. You know, we're going to get into a couple things. Of course, you know what's going on right now. Irvin Ja, they went up there to Drink Champs. We got to get into that. We've been talking about Game's album since, I want to say, top of the year. I feel like since the rollout started, you know, and then, you know, got pushed back and shit like that. So we definitely going to get into that, our thoughts on that. Banks went up there to Hot 97. No, we got to talk about that, like, of course. But y'all know what we do. We start this shit off every week, get out of rotation. Man, my rotation this week really been just, like, heavy ESTG. He dropped two songs within the last... I want to say like two, three weeks, he dropped two new joints on top of having the last ones left, you know, with 42 out. I think what he's doing right now is amazing because they dropped that project and then he's still releasing music after, like he hasn't done anything. Like, It's crazy. A lot of artists, they just drop a tape and just leave it and be like, all right, cool. See y'all again in 6 months or whatever. So shout out to G. Damn, man. Other than that, what I've been listening to, man. A lot of Detroit shit, of course, per usual. Peasy drop. You know what I'm saying? I still didn't get a chance to get into this Black Thought album. I know you hit me up about that. I didn't get a chance to check that out. Yeah, I was listening to Peasy. Only Built for Diamond Links. That shit dropped. Fire, of course. And then other than that, man, I just kind of been all over the place, man. Mixtape shit. I was listening to Wale. You know, just going through his catalog and all that. So that's kind of where I've been. Not really all over the place, but just kind of, you know, kind of jumping around a little bit over a couple joints. All classics, though. All fire shit, of course. Like, of course.
I mean, naturally. But so for me, you mentioned it. I definitely shout out. I forget the homie who tagged me in the post on Twitter, because I completely forgot all about the Danger Mouse and Black Thought project. But that joint's been on heavy repeat ever since I listened to it. I say it again for those that refuse to listen. Jay-Z is my favorite rapper ever. I think Big is probably the greatest rapper all time, but the best rapper alive and the best rapper alive for like the last whatever amount of years, and no disrespect to anybody, it's Thought. You know what I mean?
I don't think too many people can.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe they'll dispute it, but I don't think there's really too crazy of an argument to be made there. Like
if you wanted to argue with me about it, then I'm just not probably going to talk to you about it, because like we just not the same, and we don't have the same taste. You know what I'm saying? But that's been heavy rotation. Because of the Drink Champs episode, I did not go into a Murder Inc. or Ja Rule bag. And I'm not being disrespectful, because we'll get into that later. I definitely was listening. They did a lot of talking about Mob Deep on there. So I was listening to the infamous Ooh. Album, all crazy.
Yeah, that's one of them. Mm.
You mentioned Wale. I went to a Wale bag for a little bit, and then you know we haven't done the show in 2 weeks. So I was listening to a lot of Kendrick, because I went So you know, I've been real mellow. Outside of Mobb Deep, I haven't really been listening to a lot of like Bang Bang Shoot 'Em Up, I Want to Kill You type mm-hmm. music. I don't know if it's because the summer's ending and you know I got to get back daddy dropping off at school mode and all types of shit. Right, you know I'm
right
saying? Back
there right now. That's exactly why I was listening to Wale. Wale is one of those safe artists you can listen to with baby girl in the car and shit like that. You know what I mean? He got the, you know, Sunni, I'm rooting for everybody that's black. Like, he got them type of joints, you know what I mean? And then when she get out the car, that's when I put on the, I'm going to turn the G all the way up. But, you know, baby girl in the car, you can't do that. And then other than that, Nipsey, you know what I mean? Happy birthday, Nipsey. You know,
happy birthday to the legend, man.
It would have been his 37th birthday. He got his star, you know, the Walk of Fame. You know, he got his joint out there. So rest in peace to him. Just the legacy that he left is still incredible after all these years. You know what I mean? All the music that he has, what he did beyond music too, but music. I was listening to Sloss Boy too. I Don't Stress. Oh God, man. Ocean Views. Like that whole tape, just, you can put that shit on start to finish. You know what I mean? But we talked about this, you know, top of the show. Banks is back outside, man. Banks is another guy who just dropped the tape. He just made a statement and said that he can basically drop an album every year for like the next 5 years. That's how much material he has. That's what he's working on. So he got a lot of shit in the tuck. We'll see. He's outside more than he's ever been. I guarantee from 2004 to like 2021, you probably can't find 3 Lloyd Banks interviews. This year alone, he did the Joe Budden joint. He went on Full Size Run, which is a sneaker show. And he doesn't have any plans of slowing down, because he went up to Hot 97 and torched that shit. Like, you just don't hear rappers go up there and be so precise and so specific. He mixing up the flows and all that shit. Like, it's one of them. Y'all know why I'm at with it with Banks. Like, come on. Once I saw the link out, I said, oh, hold on. He's up there at 10 a.m. on Hot 97. Yeah, let me see what's going on with that. That shit did not disappoint at all.
So for those keeping score at home, this is probably week 5 or week 6 or show 6 in a row. of banks that we're talking. For those that probably think Mari sent this topic, not saying you wouldn't have, because I know you would have. I definitely was like, yo, the streets are talking about this freestyle, so we might as well talk about it. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to, my mundane tone, I slept under the fan last night, so I'm, you know, a nigga need a little bit.
Some terrible nights right there. Oh, yeah.
But I'll say that, I'm not hype because it was what I just expected.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best compliment that I can give someone. Absolutely. Is that, you know, it's what I expected. And then, you know, also I it's hard for me, but I be trying to separate Funk Flex from the fucking freestyle, because, you know, especially when you be watching these, you know, documentaries on shit back in the day. And I just further exaggerates how much I think Flex has just turned into like the corny nigga on the block. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I mean that respectfully, because he's a pioneer. He's one of the reasons that he's one of the main reasons why a lot of the rappers that you know of got burned. You know what I mean? Got spins is because of a dude like him, you know, willing to, for whatever reason, take chances on individuals. But, you know, Banks did what he got to do. While I believe he has a lot of content, one, I don't necessarily know if we need an album every year for the next 5 years for Banks or any artist, especially at this point in time in their careers, because the opportunity for failure is that much greater. Because no matter how nice you are at anything, as you get older, you will fall off. And I think that Banks is one of the nicer dudes of his generation, and I would hate to see, you know, I don't think he's Nas, right? Where it's just like, hey, my nigga, hey, Nas, dog, you could put out 2-3 albums in a year, my nigga, because you just can't miss right now, right?
Yeah, he's
but, you know, I think Banks has the ability to continue to provide dope material. And, you know, we'll see. You know, it's probably, you know, a lot of that shit be rapper talk. You know what I mean? Rappers always got, I got enough cars for bumps on your face, you know, all shit.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? But last thing I say about Banks is just when the more and more I hear him, and more all these, you know, niggas is coming to the forefront, like Fifth and Ja, all these niggas, it gets me a little down, because I'm like, damn, Banks was super nice. And I really wish that he would have made that transition to really fuck with Dre when it was really clear that the G-Unit movement was over, right? Like, Fifth had other ventures going on. The music wasn't hitting. And then, you know, I just really wish a nigga like Banks would have had that opportunity, or would have chose to really ride with Dre for, like, you know, for like a year or two. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, one of the reasons we love Kendrick so much, outside of him just being super nice, is that his debut album was a Dr. Dre produced album, and he was nice, right? So, like, I think of shit like that, I'd be like, damn, yo, like, what if Banks in his prime, or right when the G-Unit shit was breaking up, like, not saying Banks didn't put out good work, but what if he would have caught Dre and been like, yo, my nigga, like, let's do this. And then Dre just did a whole album of Banks spitting over his shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the only thing. But Banks did his thing, man. Salute my cap to the man. You know what I'm saying? Keep doing your thing, bro. And, you know, we'll check it out as the projects come out.
Yeah, for sure. I think also too, it was rumored. I don't know if it ever got like confirmed. I think probably so though. But he was supposed to be doing something with Good Music back around that time when he did the
I don't want to hear him on Good Music. Not saying he wouldn't do it. It's just that,
but just that type of music.
Like, I want to hear. I feel like Dre knows that nigga, right? Like, Dre knows them.
Sound, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think when Banks talks about having enough music in his stash or whatever, to be able to do that if he wanted to, if he chose that route, I think it's more so a nod to the fans who supported, you know, because last year we talked about it when Course of the Inevitable Part 1 came out. Basically, he dropped merch before the album, and he was like, look, I'll see what's up with the, you know, if y'all want music this bad, let me see if y'all really going to come out and support. Let's see what's up. they, you know, shit sold out. Every time he put something out, it sold out. He dropped the album. So I think now seeing the support and seeing that, like, people are really, you know, putting their money where their mouth is, so to speak, he's like, yo, all right, cool. Y'all want me back outside? I'll be back outside. I'll be back dropping more music and all that. So if he does, I'm here for it, of course. But, you know, like you said, it's rapper talk a lot. You know, he did say 50 told him, go get what you left out there before. You know what I mean? So whatever's out there for you, they're going to keep paying you to make these shits. Go ahead and do it. You want to be more visible? Go ahead and do it. So salute the Banks, man. But yeah, like we just talked about it. Irvin Giant shit, man. All the clips is making their rounds. I sat through the whole interview. Not all at one time. I think I split it up like maybe like 2 days or whatever. And, oh, man. Your man Irv is back out here sounding crazy, man. Like, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. You sit down and do an interview, they ask you the questions. You could, you know, it's whatever, right? It's part of your story. Certain shit doesn't have to be said. And then other shit, you can say it a different way. I think Irv is savvy enough to be able to get around questions and say, but I don't think he wants to. I think he knew what he wanted to do. And he said that, like, he had a purpose of saying that. You know what I mean? Which is weird. It's a weird flex to me. Like, you're telling us, like, you found out your girl, like, you're married at the time, too, but your girl is with Pimp Juice at the game and shit. Like, why are you telling us that, bro? Like,
yeah, so like a couple things, right? Like, first off, just from a general standpoint, Irv was definitely wilding. You know, he's an individual that doesn't strike me as someone that you don't want to be around when the liquor and the weed and all that shit flowing, because Irv gonna talk that talk. You know what I mean? And from the BET documentary, the docuseries that he has out right now, so forth, which is a reason I think he was talking all wild and crazy, because he knows how to promote, right? Like, it was one thing Irv, not one thing, because that nigga knows how to fucking make music, but like, you know, one thing Irv definitely knows how to do is market shit, right? How to get, create a buzz. So Irv knew what he was doing. He knew how he was going to sound. And as you listen to the interview after post the social media clips, he definitely does his fair share of acting like the nigga that's still in love with the John, but yo, it's cool because I got all these bad, his word, not mine, all these bad bitches and shit like that. But the one thing that Ashanti shit aside, right? I really feel like Irv does not get the fucking flowers that he's supposed to get on some music shit, right?
Yeah.
Because literally, and obviously I'm crossing platforms right now because I watched the docuseries.
Yeah, I watched episode one.
So, you know, the fact that this nigga was with Hov in 87 with that infamous picture, London, right? The fact that this nigga fucking knew of DMX in 89 or whatever it was, right? And you know, all this shit, and the fact that this nigga produced Can I Live and all these Jones and da 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 da. It's like, damn. Yeah. And that, let me ask you this, because I didn't know this, and I was just talking to my homie about it as I pulled up to the spot. Yo, my reaction when that nigga said Nas was supposed to be on Can I Live?
Yeah, that kind of fucked me up. Yeah, kind of fucked me up, because it's like, as much of a Jay-Z staple that is, to think that Nas was supposed to be on it is like, it's the Weebe moment, like, oh shit.
Yeah,
like,
and this ain't Nasty Nas, no, Escobar. This is Nas. No. This is Nas.
Yes, absolutely Nas. Like, at that time, 1,000%. So it's like, that shit could have changed the course of history. Like, legitimately, like, not even bullshit. Yeah, changed the course of history and like rap. Seriously,
because Irv don't get into it, and again, he does a very good job of teasing the documentary. Yeah, and I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna watch because I want to fucking know, right?
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's like, damn, everyone always wondered, yo, where did the beef come from, right? Like, was it always just the fact that Hov was always felt like, you know, he didn't get the love and respect? And it's just like, well, I don't think it was that, because everything I've ever heard about Hov back then was always Hov, and Irv said it again, was always Hov comparing himself to X, right? Because X was that nigga.
And he didn't really think he wasn't the best. So he like, nah, you really think that to me? Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that on the documentary that he doesn't just brush over, because after hearing that shit and then seeing Irv's reaction, I'm willing to bet that's where the beef started from, that shit right there.
It could be, but I heard Clark Kent speak on this recently, and you know, he kind of alluded to like there not necessarily being a point that like anybody in particular can reference other than these two gentlemen can reference like the thing, because he said like in New York at that time, and even New York today, niggas got chips on their shoulders. So when you're a rapper, there's another big rapper, you know, in another borough, you like, yo, I know I'm him, but you hear in the street say he's him, and you know, you're trying to figure it out, you know. So when they came around each other, I think it was like they didn't speak. So it was like it was already some little tension in the air, and it was just like kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like so it's a
weird, and it's probably some Queens, Brooklyn shit. Like y'all New York niggas is wild, my nigga. Yeah. Not y'all, you know what I mean? Not y'all, not because I'm that you now, but New York niggas, y'all niggas is wild.
New York niggas is listening to this. You niggas is wild.
Yeah, y'all niggas is wild, my nigga. Like that whole borough shit, like, and I'm here, I'm being a hypocrite because I'm from Southwest Philly and my whole life I screamed Southwest, and you know, I got I got stereotypes for South, Northwest.
Yeah, no,
you know what I mean, Northeast, you know what I'm saying?
What city you're from or whatever, like, you know, like, hey, nah, I ain't no East Side nigga. I'm a West Side. They do this, nah, dog. Yeah,
I'm definitely not from West Philly. I'm from Southwest, my nigga. 100%. Like, get it right.
Yeah, no, but what you were saying about the docuseries, I watched episode one, and it was so ill to me to see Irv's family dynamic. I had never known this stuff about Irv. I didn't know that, like, his, you know, the family that he comes from, it was all entertainment, like, his whole life. You know what I'm saying? He was DJing. I mean, I know he was DJ Irv and shit like that, but, you know, first of all, to get Hov on the documentary, it's major shit. I know they got history together.
Don't even understand. He didn't just get Hov on the docuseries. He got Hov on the docuseries, and Hov co-signed everything he said. Yeah,
every single thing.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's crazy.
That story is valid right there. We was out there in 87, like you said. I gave him his name. I said, he said, you know what's so funny about New York niggas? They'll make fun of anything. Nigga said, yo, your name is Irv. Your name is Irvin. Like, ain't nobody take you serious. You got to call yourself Irv Gotti or some shit like that. And it was like, oh, I guess I'm Irv Gotti now. Like, I guess that's just what it is. It was that easy. So to hear Hov talk like that, you know, kind of to hear him talk at length in his documentary like that, like, it was ill to me, because I was like, well, damn, like, they must really be good, because Hov ain't doing that for just anybody. I don't give what y'all did in the past. Like, he ain't just pulling up doing
that. And you know what? And then after you hear them talk, you understand. Right, like
1,000%.
The nigga Hov, and he go, and to bring it back to Drink Champs, he bring, you know, he Irv gives his scenario on how the breakup happened, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think it was Lior?
Yeah.
Oh no, was it Tommy Mottola? Whatever, whoever it was, did the split. It was Lior. It was definitely Lior, because it was Def Jam. Lior, and he's like, yo, Lior came. He said, I imagine Lior just came in and said, AJ, how do you feel about splitting this thing three ways? And you know, he was like, Hov being Hov is just like, fuck it. Like,
that's it.
Let's do it, right? And it's like, you know, hearing him talk about all that shit, and like you just recognize, yo, this Irv Gotti literally is all jokes aside, Irv Gotti is probably on a top three or four list of niggas that hip hop wouldn't be hip hop today without, right? Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And it's very easy to get caught up in it's very easy to get caught up in all this, you know, the extra shit, you know, because I put this in the chat, and I'm not going to take credit for this. My man said this to me, but when he said it, it made sense. When you really, especially looking at Irv's story now, right? When you look at Irv's story, Irv pretty much is very similar to a child actor who got on at 10, 12, 15, whatever the age may be, and grew up in this shit, right?
Absolutely.
And when you grow up in this shit, you don't really know normal ways of life or what people deem to be because you haven't been normal since, like,
your normal 13. Is way different,
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And So while I do think Irv is extra corny for some of the things he says about Ashanti, but then there's some shit he says about Ashanti that I'm just like, hey, my nigga, if that's all fat, Jack, like, I feel you, dog.
I was wearing a watch on the
my nigga. I wouldn't give her. I wouldn't let her re-record the shit so that she can X me out of shit. I already gave her this. I already did. I didn't take bread for this. The only thing I have left is this, and you want to take that from me? And I'm just like, nah. So like all that shit, I get it, you know. But it's very much you recognize you can realize if you pull the curtain back, Irv is nothing more than not nothing more in a negative way, but Irv is simply a child prodigy that grew up in the industry, and he only knows one way, and that's to be Irv God. He don't know how to be Irv and Lorenzo anymore. That nigga doesn't exist.
He's probably only Irv and Lorenzo to his family, like away from the, you know what I mean?
And
like
my nigga, I you know what? I'll keep it real. He's probably not, because you got to think his pop passed.
Pop passed, yeah.
He's financially, the way he's set up, he's most likely the patriarch of the family.
For sure. I when he was younger, Chris was, you know what I mean? That's bro. Yeah. But it's like,
I mean, Chris is big bro, and don't get it twisted. Sure. Chris looked like a nigga that'll give him a two-piece and quiet him the fuck down real fast. And I think
Chris even understands like the dynamic of it. It's like, that's Irv, man. Like, you gotta let Irv, you know what I mean?
As long as he don't disrespect me, I'll let him rock.
1000%. I just think that the shit with Ashanti would have probably come off better if you spoke about it from a pure business standpoint and said, this doesn't make sense for this. But when you start the story out with like, she ain't want to throw up murder no more. She ain't want to do da da da. So no, you can't have that. It's like, damn, Irv. Like, I get it. Maybe it don't make sense business wise, but damn, bro, like, you leading with pain, my nigga. Like, you're leading with hurt and pain.
I mean, hurt people, my nigga.
No, 1000%. 1000%. I'm just thinking that the way he's being like received on social media right now. Or just overall, because Fat Joe even spoke on it. Fat Joe was like, yo, bro, Josh sitting right next to this nigga, he ain't say nothing about him saying, you know, be this, be that. And he like, damn, bro, like, why you had to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and Irv's defense, he does correct himself.
Yeah, for sure. He did apologize,
right? And again, we are two individuals that come from an era where certain words were used not in a derogatory way. It was just how we refer to people, right? Like Irv said, yo, nigga, right? Like, yo, you my nigga, right? I don't want to say my nigga no more, but it's so natural to me to say it. I say it, right? I don't use the B word nearly as much as I used to, and to the point I really don't use it anymore. And quite honest, it was, you know, it all changed for me when my daughter was born, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't do that anymore, but I also can recognize when an individual is using it in a way where they're using it as just an extra word when they're talking about the person, as opposed to, yo, I'm calling you a B. You know what I'm saying?
It just come off weird when it's like, yeah, man, she left. She
was when it's all that pain, that pain behind it, we can't see past that shit.
Yeah, yeah, no, 100%. I will say about the docu series so far, with episode one, is like, when you look at Irv, I heard him tell these stories before. DMX, Jay-Z, all this shit. These big executives, sure, they want to take credit down the line for these guys' success, but at the top of the, you know, top of their career, Irv is the one going in that office telling you, hey, DMX is going to go sell 5 million records. And they like, what is he going to, he's barking like a dog. What do you mean he's going to sell 5 million? Like, get the fuck out of here. And then what happened? He come out and sell like 7. And he said, yo, I keep this shit in the office to let them know I was right about this shit. So when you go back and look at the Ye documentary, genius, right? Mm-hmm. Ye is on there bigging up himself, and everybody's like, yo, yeah, he knew, he believed. Irv believed in a whole nother nigga. Like, yo, he's gonna be this. And nobody believed. They all doubted him and was like, nah, we cool on this. You know what I mean? So for him to have that vision to put that out and then be so instrumental with Hov, and then you get Ja, like, it's just an ill era to be a part of, and for Irv to be at the, you know, the spearhead of that movement. Is incredible. And that's why I wish that Irv's name wasn't so much like muddied up with the extra shit. Because like you said, you do want to give him his credit, his flowers, because he's a legend. Like, anybody that knows the hip hop culture, Irv is one of them. He's supposed to be, you know what I mean?
And I know hip hop culture, and I did not realize that he was instrumental on Reasonable Doubt. Like, I didn't know that shit. One, I just didn't care about that back then. The music was just good to me, right? You know, and then I just didn't think about it. But, like, come on, dog. Like, you know, and then for that man to take literally the, I guess it would be the two of the hottest niggas on the planet, throw them on in a group with a, you know, with the young Pitbull and Ja, and have the mind frame to be like, yo, I'm going to call my company Murder, Inc., so I'm going to call the group Murder, Inc., because I remember thinking to myself, oh, shit, DMX and Ja and Hov must be on Murder, Inc. Like, I remember that game, that game being ran on me, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and bro, like, come on, dog, like, the songs they did together were fucking amazing.
Hell yes.
Amazing material. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, truth be told, I don't think this is what Irv said, but I feel like he was trying to say it. Like, the nigga, they pretty much broke J-Lo as far as into our community.
1,000%. I don't even think people would dispute that, because when she started getting on that Murder, Inc. shit, that's when we as a culture started being like, oh, yeah. Because her shit before that was like MTV, you know what I'm saying? Prettied up, glammed up, dressed up shit. But she got on that Murder, Inc. shit, and it was like, oh, okay, this is different. So with Irv, man, you know, and even in the interview, even in the Drink Chaps interview, he talked about that Murder, Inc. era. And I've heard Irv in interviews over the years, whether it's Rap Radar or whatever else, and he's always a great interview, like always, no matter what. But he touched on something from that era where he was talking about Gilbert Arenas, right? He told a story about Gilbert Arenas. He said that Ja Rule was heckling a young Gilbert Arenas with the fro still. If you know, you know, right? You know that young Gil. The spread on the game, I think he said, was what, eight?
Eight.
Might have been eight or seven. Seven. Yeah, it might have been 8 points, right?
It was definitely eight. It was definitely 8 points.
8 points. Catino Mobley at the line. Cash both of the free throws. He good. Bet is secure. They done bet like 170 racks or whatever. Gilbert Arenas been hearing them, you know, bark at him all game, calling them donut and all this other shit. What do you do? 5 seconds left in the game. It don't matter. Let me hoist the three and fuck y'all money up real quick. Cash that shit. And look at the niggas like.
That's so Gilbert Arenas.
That's Gil. That's just, shout out to Gil. That's just Gil for you, man. You know what I mean? So like, little shit like that. You peep Steve Francis. Now listen, I'm going to ask you, because I know you probably peeped it. When Steve Francis came in there, Irv said, yo, I got a Steve Francis story. Steve Francis said, what story is that, big bro? Anybody that knows anything about being around niggas, you know when you say, what you talking about, big bro? You want to make sure he ain't going to say nothing crazy. And then Irv was like, no, not nothing crazy. This is a good one. And Steve was like, oh, I bet. And I'm like, yo, he probably got some wild shit in the tuck. Like, that was ill. That was super ill.
I love the AI story, too, because anytime people big up my city, you know what I mean? Like, we have our little brother complex because we feel like we're just as instrumental to hip hop and things of that nature as other cities.
Yeah, and, like New York,
like New York, you know what I mean? But you know, so when you hear those New York niggas show us the love, it's always dope. But I loved how the nigga was saying, yo, dog, I'd be out with AI. He said the nigga AI will have $500,000 worth of jewelry on. He said probably like $500,000 in his pocket, like da 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 da. And he said the nigga AI would just walk around, no security. And my nigga, that's a fact, Jack.
He said these niggas love me, Gotti.
Dog,
they love me and I love them.
Let me tell you something, my nigga. One of the reasons that I be telling these niggas, yo, dog, being a star here is way different here. You know, because if we embrace you, my nigga, you good wherever you go.
It's like they almost adopt the personality of the city, too. I feel like a Philly athlete is a Philly
fan.
Son. It's like an adopted Philly son. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying never, but I'm saying never. I ain't never heard of my life any, and I ain't talking about the news stories, I'm talking about the street stories. I ain't never heard a story of anybody telling me how niggas ran up on AI. For what? What you gonna do that for? It's Chuck.
A pitcher, maybe.
It's Chuck, my nigga. Like, come on, that's Bubba Chuck. You know what I mean? We family. So it was dope hearing them talk about that shit. And then that all, again, it puts everything in perspective because it takes me back to a time in life. And you realize, yo, these niggas were literally the biggest names on the planet at one time. Mm-hmm. You got Rockefellers out, Rough Riders out. Bad Boy is dwindling a little bit, or case may be. Death Row is a little bit gone, but you still got Wu-Tang. You still got fucking the South Movement, because Outkast is out now, and they fucking crazy. And you Stacks up here saying, yo, niggas ain't got no luck. You know what I mean? Like, say, nigga, South got something to say, dog. Yeah. Like, all this shit in the number one crew, because they had everything, was Irvin, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and it can't be denied. You know what I mean? Like, even through all the bullshit, the beef, the drama, all that shit, they can't be denied, because they were on the charts. Like, every time you looked up, Ja got a number one. John Ashanti got this. Like, it was just, like, they really, you really had the beat. Like, and I was young at the time, but it's like, you could recognize that Ja Rule was somebody to be reckoned with in this shit, bro. Like, no matter what, you couldn't get away from it. You know what I'm saying? Even as competitive as rap was back then, especially in New York, you got all of these New York guys competing for that number one spot. Ja came out of nowhere. Let's be real. He went from, like, you said, a pit bull in the backyard to, like, the dog show. Like, he went in with the medal on his shit, with the ribbon on his shit. Because when Holla Holla came out, even, and you know, he even said, DMX was like, yo, dog, if niggas keep saying that's my song, I'm biting his head off. Like, they niggas keep saying that's my song. Like, he sound like me and shit. That's how hot the song. It was like, yo, what is this?
Just think about the time we're in at this point, right? We have Jaws coming into the game, and Holla Holla is dope, right? Fucking the first album is really, really fucking good. I think Irv said that shit sold like 3 or 4 times platinum or some shit. X done dropped two albums. I think he sold about 14 million and off the two albums. Hove drop Hard Not Life.
Nigga sold like album. 8 or some shit. Some he crazy sold 8 shit, million, bro.
Right? And like, it's wild.
You hear the numbers, dog?
Come on, bro. And then, you know, like, fucking, you know, he's got Hov on the Holla remix. You know, Hov's hit you with it. If I breathe on the track, when I breathe, niggas, like, oh no, he said when I squeeze, niggas breathe, like, yeah. Like, yeah, you know, yeah, what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, all that shit, yep. You know, like, yep. You know what I'm saying? It was a glorious time. A glorious time, man. It was dope, you know, seeing Irv's play and how Irv got it all going. Everything from the box, calling up, you know, all the areas, which is brilliant.
He's a hustler.
He's a hustler, man. Deserves his motherfucking flowers. Yeah, I'm excited to see what else. You know, I'm excited to see his version of the Supreme. The Supreme shit whenever they shit drop.
Yeah,
you know. I'm a little less excited to see the Murder Inc. document, whatever the fuck he was talking about. They gonna come. I don't really want to see that shit, because, you know, I'm like, what's it gonna be? He was like, oh, we gonna come out with a series. I'm like, this is where it gets powerific.
Yeah, you know, like, what I'm come on, my nigga. Yeah, we don't want to see that shit with Ja got special powers and shit, and Vita is flying through it. Like, we don't want to come on.
And I respect the fact that this beef. That beef is still there, and it's always going to be there, my nigga.
1,000,000%. 50 just was on the Breakfast Club, and he just gave up some, like, after all this first time, he still gave up new information. After all this time, there's still new information out there. When he was talking about, nigga, you ain't beat the feds, you da-da-da. And I was just like, oh, shit.
Nigga.
What?
So when that nigga Fifth told them, he said, yo, is it true that they tried to get you on? He said, nah, they ain't trying to get on. He said, they tried to clear, I get money. Yo, did you let them clear it? Fuck out of here. What the fuck? I was just like, hell yeah, don't let them niggas clear. And I, you know, and I'm neutral. Oh, no. But I'm like, yo, don't let them niggas clear that shit. Nigga, this shit still beef. Nigga, I don't with you.
Nigga, this shit still that's the one that I don't think is gonna.
There'll never be a moment on stage where they dap each other up like Fat Joe and 50 dapped each other. That'll never happen.
We saw Fat Joe and 50. We saw 50 and Nas. Saw Fat Joe and Hov. We saw Cam and Nas. We're never seeing that one.
We're also never going to see Cam and Hov either. We'll never see that.
Well, it happened, but we did, because they, you know, Cam was talking about it on Drink Chat. I think the last time he was on there, they pieced it up and
like it happened, but we ain't never going to see it.
Yeah. We're not going to see like them perform Welcome to New York City on stage together. If that's what you like, yeah, not probably.
Oh yeah, but I mean, first of all, we don't want like them niggas, the disdain they both have for each other on that song, and they're clearly making it clear that, yo, Yo, you owe me for this one, nigga. Like, come on, dog. But I mean,
yeah,
but
even the story about how the song came about, like, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Like that shit's crazy. Like, 100%. First of all, Cam, literally, not to get super sidetracked, but Cam's top five Cam and Fifth are two niggas that when you talk about storytelling, just not rapping, just storytelling, whether it's factual or not, my nigga, I gotta hear the story because them niggas tell stories how I like to have stories told.
They're going to tell a story that makes you feel like you can see it as they're saying it, period. Yep. That's just what it is, like every single time. But yeah, I do recommend people to check that out. I'll tell you what's weird about the docu-series right now is I couldn't find it on the BET Plus app. It's like they got like the free trial on it, but it's on the BET website. I don't know what that's gonna do, like numbers wise or streaming wise for the like how it's gonna look. But anyway, like if you have a chance, anybody out there listening, you got a chance to check it out. I want to say by the time you guys get this episode, part two
will be out.
Yeah, so you guys will have two episodes. If you haven't, like I said, watch it for sure. Episode one was crazy. Episode two, I think they're gonna get into the 50 Cent, they teased that a little bit, the 50 Cent part of it. They got Black Child in there and stuff like that. So definitely hype for that, man.
Hello, listener. Have you ever used ButcherBox? I don't know if you know this about me, but I used to be a butcher. I used to work at an unnamed grocery store. I used to be that tall man behind the counter in your neighborhood, cutting up meat and preparing seafood for you. And I know that it can be a stressful situation. I know that it can be crowded. You have to wait your turn. You have to know what you want. You feel rushed. Sometimes you might think that your butcher has a bad attitude. I don't know. Happened to a friend. Couldn't possibly be me. But that's why I love ButcherBox. ButcherBox brings you peace of mind. You can easily find high quality beef, chicken, pork that you can trust is humanely raised. There's no antibiotics or added hormones. There's the ultimate convenience of not having to deal with butchers or the crowded meat counter after a long day at work. It's delivered right to your doorstep. There's always free shipping and there's incredible value. You're getting really high quality products at an amazing value. You get exclusive member deals. You get recipe inspiration, guides, hacks. A little hack from my butcher experience, the petite top sirloin, which is about half the price of the New York steak, is a very similar cut with a fat cap on one side, and you get very good tenderness out of the petite sirloin. If you've ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse and you see them talking about picanha, that's the petite sirloin. With ButcherBox, I'm always prepared. I always have meat on deck for a grill and chill, a cookout, or just making dinner at home. And I'm saving a ton of money from shopping at the grocery store all the time. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's great, but what's my reward for signing up for ButcherBox? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you sign up at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, you will get free ground beef for life. For life. Enough ground beef to fill the Nile, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/dings.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Drove is here. It's here. We got to talk about it. The album's here. Do we? The shit got pushed back. The rollout happened. The rumors happened. All that shit. Talking about none other than the game. Drillmatic is finally here, bro. Now when he teased this originally, we thought we were getting a Game Hit Boy album. Right? See the run he on with Nas. Game said, yeah, my next shit is with Hit Boy. Called Drillmatic, and we was like, oh shit. This might be one of them. You look up, that's not what happened at all. He got 31 joints on here.
It's a very exhausting album.
And 32 features. He got more features than he got songs on the joint. So let's start here.
Okay.
Out of 31 songs on this album, how long did it take you to finish this album? How did you split your listen up?
It took like 5 days for me to finish.
Okay, cool.
That joint.
I don't feel bad now. It took me like 4 days to like really. It took me like four. I just want to make sure.
Some of the songs. So first of all, I can tell why the nigga shit kept getting fucking push back because he's got so many fucking samples on that bitch.
Samples,
like,
dog.
Goddamn, dog. Like, I know clearing all them tracks took forever, my nigga. Because it felt like every other song was a classic beat.
And like, you know, a super sample of it, not just like a
little, yeah, like not like a drum or some shit. Yeah. Like, no, this nigga's rapping over the fucking beat, dog.
100%,
yeah. I think so. Overall, my take from the album is Game can rap.
Yeah,
that's never been debated, right?
Absolutely.
Game can rap. Do I want to hear Game rap sometimes? Not really, because to this day, golly, dog, like, you still name dropping like this? Like, shit, yo, why are you still talking about Hove? Like, come on. And then, yo, I mean, it had to be, the whole world had to know there was going to be some sort of Eminem diss on the fucking shit. And while I understand the streets is like, oh shit, he's rapping like M, da da da. Well, he's rapping like the M that I don't like. And there may be bars there that he's talking about, but I'm telling you, that is 100% a skip song after I heard it the one time, because I don't need to hear it.
Yeah, I'll say this about that song. The only redeeming quality from that song for me personally is that he did what he, like, he spoke about this in the interview before, right? He was like, I can just go do that and just rap like that. And it's like, yeah, cool. He went
you
and
can.
Did it.
But do you really want to hear? Yeah, like, yeah, do I really want to hear that?
So when he did it, I went to that song, you know, I listened to it out of order. I went to that song, like, when I realized it was on, I said, oh shit, let me hear this real quick before I don't give a fuck about it no more. Let me just listen to it. I listened to it. I didn't realize it was 10 minutes until I was like 5 minutes in, and I was like, well, shit, you still got a long way to go.
My nigga, that's such a long song, dog.
It's 10 minutes, bro. Fuck? The album itself is 2 hours long. Let's just get that out the way. It's 2 hours.
And I was just like, wow, this nigga, I was like, yo, this nigga made a road trip album.
Yeah, no, dead ass road trip album, some like Netflix original movie type album, some shit like that. But that song in particular, yes, it's cool. I see what he did. It's not a song that I would go back to. I do think that, like, a song like 300 Bars, like back in the day, I love that song. He went crazy on that song
because he's
like,
rapping,
absolutely crazy on that shit.
He's this rapping. Right here, he's not doing a gimmick.
Yeah, this right here was I see why he did it, and I get it, and it's okay. Like I respect it, right? Cool, but I don't need to ever hear that song again. Yeah,
you know what this album was, bro? This album was everything that I thought about Game. It just really was, man.
That makes perfect sense. I'm glad you said that. Another one of my homeboys said the same thing. He had the same damn near verbatim,
like
review.
Yeah. Did he have Conway on? Conway's not on this. Conway's on Black Thought's album. Okay, never mind. Mm-hmm. Push. So I think Push and Two Chainz had the
busy on there.
I think Chainz had the best verse on the album, and I think Push is right behind him. And that's not a shot at Game.
I'm glad you said that, because when I was listening to that Chainz verse, I was like, oh, he might have got niggas out of here. Like, he went crazy on. He has great chemistry with Game too. For some reason, when he's on a song with Game, he loses his fucking mind on these joints. He went crazy on this. I'm glad you said that. I'm really glad you said that, because that was like the best verse on the. On the album, like you said, I'm with you on that.
Lil Wayne's washed.
Lil Wayne confused me.
Listen.
Because last year,
bite the bullet. Yeah.
On the West Side Gun shit, I thought he went crazy on that. But then, like you said, he turned right around and he gave you something like this, and you're like, well, okay.
My nigga, listen, I'm going to put it right next to the microphone, right? This is where we at, dog. If I'm not hearing anymore his songs, like, it's a rap, right? Like well, and
shit. He just said Carter 6 is on the way, so I mean, shit, you gotta, you know, you don't care about the Carter 6?
I don't give a fuck about the Carter 6, nigga. I don't want to hear him singing on songs. I don't want no smoke with Nicki's camp, but everybody that we once loved thought was dope from that Young Money era officially crossed over to they don't make music for us anymore. And the only one who I feel as though has the ability to make music for us out of that trio is Aubrey Graham.
Yeah.
That's it.
Let me ask you this. You have to pick one of these. You got to.
Okay.
Let's say whatever date it is, right? They tell you that two things are going to drop today. You have to check out one of these. One is Carter 6. The other one is Memphis Bleek versus Joel Santana. Which one of those are you checking out?
Memphis Bleek versus Joel Santana. And it's not even a fucking question. It's not even a fucking question.
I had to ask. I just wanted to gauge it.
Because, I mean, at least I know I'm going to like them songs.
Because you know you already like them. Yeah, I got you.
Like, yo, I'm not. Yeah. Shout out to everybody who's going to tell me, oh, yo, Wayne, yo, this. Yo, my nigga. Carter 6 is going to be poo-poo. And I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But if I could put some, if Vegas had odds on whether or not this album was just like, I'm not talking about mics, just good. Yes or no?
Yeah.
I'm putting just the house good. On no. Like, it's not going to be good. Right. Yeah. I refuse to believe that the reason these albums were trash is because everything that's going on with Baby.
Because
I've seen a lot of niggas going, bro. I've been seeing a lot of niggas going through shit with labels who still, the songs may not be good, but what they say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good. No, 1000%. Because like, and the thing is, that will motivate you, I think, to make a little better music because you got a little pain and animosity behind it now. It's like a little bit, you stepped outside of that creative box, you don't give a fuck. But so let's run through some of the features on this joint, right? You got Kanye on here on the joint Easy. We heard that before. I'm not crazy about it. Fabio Foreign is on there. Yeah. You got YG, Ty Dolla. Now, let me say this. It takes a special type of person to make a song with Ty Dolla Sign that I don't care about. And he achieved it with this. Because when I heard the song, I was like, man, you took Change the Game, which is a song that I still love to this day. You put Ty Dolla Sign on it, who can do no wrong in my book. And you still made a song that I really don't really give a fuck to listen to again. Congratulations, because I didn't think it could be done. But goddamn, man, like it was underwhelming to me.
He did it.
It was really underwhelming to me, man. He got Roddy Ricch. I mean, whatever.
Bro, he's got a bunch of niggas on there that ain't for me.
Kanye West, Dreezy, you got Twista, Jeremiah, French Montana, Tory Lanez, Meek Mill.
Twista, I was going wild. Twista, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that was cool. And then I believe Game on that song, he raps like Twista. So, like, that's the shit that pisses me off because Game's talented. He can do that shit.
Yeah, just but, me to you, bro.
I fucked with the Ice-T genre. That shit was fire.
I like too. That one. I do. I like that one too. And you know what's crazy? I'm not really, maybe I'm in a minority with this. I'm not really mad at the Money Cash Clothes joint with ASAP on it. I'm not mad at that song. Like,
no, but you know what I am mad at? And this is here you go. That's this is That's So Game, right? That might be the fucking title. That's So Game.
That's my so, nigga. Yeah, yeah, that's the title for sure.
But yo, this nigga's so whack to me at times, and it's annoying because yo. You had to put the fucking recording of Drake on the album to let everybody know, yo, I tried to get the homie on the album, yo, but he was just too busy.
Yeah, I didn't need to hear that. I really didn't need to hear that. Like, that's cool in an interview if you say, like, yeah, I tried to get Drake on the song, he was busy. I didn't need to hear Drake spinning you.
But that's so Game because Game has to do that. He has to put the fucking voicemail on there to let everyone, like, that's the name dropping shit that he's been doing since everyone. And it's just like, damn, yo, you still dropping names.
Yeah.
You still, yo, dog, we all don't know, but we all know that at some point in time, you had an opportunity to sign to The Rock, but you fucked it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get over it. It should happen. You don't hear me. You don't hear me still run up on everybody I know telling niggas how I had an opportunity after college to go fucking work to work with Ludacris and his fucking label. Yeah, like, yeah. I had, like, dog, fucking, that's one of my, yeah. I don't even talk about the shit because I'm so embarrassed of how I fucked up and right, all that
there
shit.
You go. There
you know
go.
What I'm saying? Right. But this nigga, every time, yo, da 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 da, you know I'm saying? Yo, you know what I'm saying? Yo, I ain't even really fuck with The Rock, but I still fuck with Hov. But then again, I don't really fuck with Hov because da da da, but yo, Hov's the big home. It's like, nigga, do you not just
on an album where you got a bunch of Hov samples that he had to clear. So,
nigga. Yo, just tell the world you're salty because Hov never gives you the feature that you want.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Like, that's all it is. He really, yo, big homie, I know you not listening, but by some chance, Ty listening, and he put you on. Yo, all the homie game want is a feature, my nigga, and I know you know that. Help us out.
Yeah.
Give the nigga the feature so he can shut up and stop talking about you. Shit's fucking annoying, man.
Yeah, No Man Falls, like we talked about earlier, Pusha T and 2 Chainz, love that song. I really do. And What We Not Gonna Do, I don't like the title of it, but I did enjoy the song. I like that song. There's a handful of songs on the album that I like thoroughly enjoy. Overall, though, out of 31 songs, I shouldn't have to skim through so much shit. And part of it is because, like, what Game is doing on here. I don't want to hear
fucking Blueface. Like,
yeah, part of it is what Game is doing on here is he's doing a lot of shit that's, like, unnecessary, like you said, right? The flows that he's choosing to use on certain shit, bro. Like, if you just be you, I'll give you a perfect example. The song Killers with Cam, he went back to I forget the name of the original mixtape that he was on. I want to say it was like was it West Side Story, or it was some shit like that. It was something
that sound right.
It was like an old mixtape. His voice was a little different. It was like it had a little like scratch to it, a little more pain in it and shit. He sounded like that on this song, and I enjoyed it. But the rest of the album, it just sounds like he's like, I don't know, like he got Big Sean on here, and it's like, bro,
who needs Big Sean on the album? Shout out to Big Sean, but niggas ain't never checking for Big Sean, gang. Why you got Big Sean on the album?
He has a bunch of. This looks like Khaled's like wildest dream. This album looked like Khaled put this shit together. I'm gonna just be real and. I get it because I listened to his, you know, a couple of his interviews recently around the album, and he's at a point, I guess, like a point in his life where he's just doing a bunch of music just to, I guess, do something new, do whatever he wants. You know, I don't know. Cool. It might his fans. I saw a bunch of people on social media with blue checks next to their name saying how dope it is and how great the album is. And before I checked it out, I listened to it and I was just like, maybe I got a different copy. But you know what? I never call shit trash. It's just not for me. The album just ain't for me, man.
Yeah, it's not a trash album because, you know, I call something trash. That shit wasn't trash. It's not a trash album. It's too much, man.
Yeah, it's not for me. It's not there's like I said, there's a handful of songs on here that I like, and I may not even go like spin them. You know what I mean? Like if I hear them though, I'll be like, oh yeah, that's my I like that.
I can probably tell you outside of that Push and Chain song. I can't see myself going to listen to something on this album.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but if it comes up in my algorithm, like I'll let shit play.
Yeah. If it comes up, if I'm listening to a playlist and then, you know, the track radio starts and then one of the songs is on there, cool. I'll let it rock, but I'm not going to go seek it out and shit like that.
Never.
Yeah. It's too many songs. Number one, way too many songs. I think that he should have stuck with his original plan of doing just the Hit Boy album, and one of my homeboys, shout out to my man Rome, believes that that was never even an option. He thinks that like he just Game said that shit and tried to speak it into existence. Like, yeah, I'm doing the album with Hit Boy. Like nah.
Man, you know damn well it wasn't an option, dog. Game is one of them niggas that when he say shit, I just don't believe it.
That's the same thing my man Rome said, man. Like he listened to that album, and he said, yo.
He said, like, when has Game ever told us the truth on some real shit?
I was just about to say that's he did tell us that he skipped out on making like a couple million dollars so he can get 99 overall on 2K and shit. So I mean, you know how that go. But my man Rome said, yo, Game is the nicest whack nigga. Like he's nice, but he's whack too, like at the same time. And it's a weird.
I'm not calling Game a lame, but money, like you can't unlame a lame.
Yeah. 1000%. So it's like you're nice at rapping, but like, god damn, man, like
You might just be a corny nigga outside of rap, my nigga. And that's cool. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can't be cool. You know what I mean? Because if everybody's cool, then cool ain't really cool.
Yeah. Somebody gotta be on the other side of
gotta be on the other side of the block, my nigga.
If you know fortunately, bad has to exist because you wouldn't just be 100%. Yeah, I'm just cool on this album. I know that there's a lot of people out there that probably like this shit a lot. I've seen a lot of people saying they love it, and that's cool. I'm not here to change anybody's opinion on the album, one way or the other. It's just not for me. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to say like waited a long time for the album. Like we was like, oh shit, I can't wait. But you know, it came out. We had to listen to it. It was like, okay, cool. Game drop. He usually has good projects. I'm just cool on this. I'm just cool on it. I I don't really need to hear this album again, to be honest. Like, it's shit just
Bro. I don't need to hear the triple disc.
Yeah, nah, dead ass. This is like legitimately a triple disc album. Like, it's yeah, I'm cool, man. It's too much other good music out right now for me to even complain about this shit, to be honest. Like, I'm cool. I've been listening to other shit. I've been going back listening to, I listened to AZ shit, Do or Die 2, like, you know, a couple weeks ago, and it's like refreshing. I love to hear shit like that. I'm cool. This right here just didn't do it for me. Shout out to him though. You know, keep doing your thing. Shout out to him, man. But yeah, I'm alright. I think I might. I might keep like 3 or 4 songs off of this, but ain't looking good, man. I don't know, dog. Somebody fuck is this shit is this shit is 2 hours long, bro. I'm okay. But yeah. Listen, man. Rate us, subscribe, review, tell a friend, and tell a friend, man. Till next week. We out.